Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 30th of January, 2012. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. What beautiful weather. I was out taking a walk in Himmel Park yesterday in Tucson and pinching myself, saying, is this for real? Is this really the end of January? What a gorgeous day it was. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we say hello to our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240, our friends in Globe and Gila County, and then in Cochise County. People listen to the Buckmaster Show. Our friends listen on KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas. We live stream the show, two locations, my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com. And there are three venues that you can hear our program 24/7 anywhere, anytime. Buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com, all posting the program. Usually it's up about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The program is posted and ready for you. We are live, though, Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We begin with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring, we have two teams of commentators, and each team believes they are the A-team. Commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom are with us today at 30 minutes past the hour. We're going to spend a half hour on the Buckmaster Show. It certainly deserves that much time, talking about heart disease with Dr. Gordon Avey. He is head of the Sarver Heart Center at the University of Arizona. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And I want to encourage you that if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, I would encourage you to contact us. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of the two teams of commentators. This week it is Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman from Arizona. Bruce is down in Florida at some meetings. He is going to join us here on the Buckmaster Show live line. And with me in studio, to the left of me, I don't know if there's any significance of that, Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and Paul is the current vice chair of the party. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our good friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. This is family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and also at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash, how are you today? How is everything down in Florida? And Paul Eckerstrom, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Things are well here in Florida.
Well, good. I hope the weather's nice for you.
Nothing's quite like Tucson, but it's mid-70s and very lovely.
Well, this Fingergate tarmac tiff, whatever you want to call it, is not going away. I want to begin by just reading a couple of paragraphs from Steve Farley, Representative Steve Farley, a Democrat. He's the assistant minority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives, has an op-ed piece in this morning's Arizona Republic saying he is shocked and dismayed when, instead of greeting our commander-in-chief with respect and welcoming him to our state, Governor Brewer chose to engage in political theater. And he says, come on, let's stop the finger pointing and shake some hands instead. Let's begin with Paul Eckerstrom. Your party, the Democratic Party, has actually started a new online petition, BrewerDoesn'tSpeakForMe.com.
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this is an embarrassment to the state again, and Governor Brewer seems to be good at doing that. The whole furor over 1070 when she said there was headless bodies in the desert, which wasn't true, and now she's doing things like this. You know what really bothers me about this more than anything, Bill, is that she had a book out there, and by doing this, her book is now in the top seven in sales.
As of Friday, it's now number seven on Amazon's bestseller list, and it was way off the charts before this.
Yeah, and that really makes me believe that she staged this. She wanted that picture to go viral. It did. She's now going to be a millionaire for being disrespectful.
You think this
and
was
rude.
A conscientious effort to sell books?
I think so. I really believe that.
Bruce Ash, you're up.
Oh, just let Paul prattle on about this. this is just about the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The president steps off the plane. The governor greets him, and he immediately launches into his lecture to her, as he oftentimes does with elected officials and the American people. Anybody who knows Janet Brewer knows that she talks with her hands, and she made her point with him. And these addle-brained Democrats want to make a big deal out of it. You know what? I'll go for it. Just like Baja, Arizona, I'm sure a lot of people are buying what you're selling.
Another reason for Baja, Arizona. We would respect the president when he came here.
Yeah. Well, when that happens, Paul, I'm moving to Norte.
Well, Bruce, people still do want to talk about this. I posted this question on Facebook, and I think there were 15 comments like within 5 minutes. So people, it's not going away right now. So you're saying, though, it's blown way out of proportion?
Look, the president came to Arizona to glom on to credit for the Intel plant, which would never have happened had it not been for this Republican governor and this Republican legislature. And, it is more of his cheap attempts to take credit for whatever is happening positive here in Arizona. And, if anybody should be ashamed of themselves, it's him for pulling such a prank.
You know,
he really is a child. And I'll tell you what, any chance that the Democrats thought they had, and they never really had any, to take the 11 electoral votes here in Arizona, he just pissed them away on last Wednesday.
It was a
foolish stunt, Paul. And I'm telling you, we're going to see that picture 1,000 times between now and Election Day.
Yeah, and it's going to help the Democrats. Let me tell you something.
Right, sure it will.
Bruce, would you let me talk?
And just walk away.
All right.
That's what's disrespectful, Paul. Yeah. And you know it. Good spin, though.
Yeah, well, listen, let me tell you something. Who was acting childish was the governor wagging her finger in front of the president so the whole world could see it. And you know what? She did it so she could sell books and
you,
get
Paul.
And
sure
score
you,
political
sure
points.
Had,
now,
I'm sure you had to talk with her publisher.
Now,
and
the other
all that on your own.
The other thing is he came here not to glom on to the Intel. He came here to praise Intel. He didn't take credit for it. He came to praise Intel. This is the type of thing he wants to see for the rest of the country. And the other thing –
if it wasn't for the Republicans, it wouldn't have.
The other thing is, politically, this is going to help the president in this state and all the southwestern states where Latinos and Hispanics live. They're going to turn out and vote. When this happened, the Latino radio stations and blogs lit up. Because they saw the president finally standing up against the symbol of the anti-immigration, anti-Hispanic, racial charged politics. That's Jan Brewer, and that was a good thing for the president.
All right, next topic, Paul. This one you've worn this one to a thread.
790-2040. Did the president go over the? Did Jan Brewer go over the line in this incident last week, Bruce? So Paul is saying this is going to help. This is going to help the Democrats with the Latino vote. What do you say? No way.
Look, there have been millions of Latinos who have lost their jobs because of this president, and who have little chance of regaining jobs in the field of their endeavor until this recession is over. The only way that this recession is going to end is to elect a new president of the United States and bring Republicans to power in the Senate. And that's what we'll do exactly on November 6th, later this year.
You know what, Bruce? If we elect Republicans back into power and bring back the policies that got us this recession under George Bush and the Republican Congress, you know, that's the prescription for disaster. We go into a Great Depression then. This president saved us from a Great Depression. We're climbing out of this recession slowly but surely. And, you know, if we upset that apple cart, we're going to be in real trouble. And I don't believe the Latino community believes that. I think the Latino community understands that the Republican Party are for rich people and not for working people.
Oh, there we go, class struggle, class warfare again, Paul. You have all the talking points.
12-14.
The simple fact is that the facts don't support you, bud.
12-14 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan wants to talk about something that Paul Eckerstrom said. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, Mr. Eckerstrom, I think it's an incredible reach for you to suggest that a photograph snapped during an event on the tarmac at the airport, one moment out of the presidential greeting where the governor greeted the president, and the president greeted the governor, and then the president launches into a conversation about how he didn't like her book. The conversation continues, and at some point, the photographer taking the picture. Now, for your scenario to work, it has to be quite a conspiracy involving a number of people. Do you happen to know who the photographer was? Was it a member of Governor Brewer's staff? Was it a journalist? How do you defend this wild accusation?
Well, all I know is the result. The result is her book is selling like hotcakes when it wasn't selling at all, and she's going to become a millionaire for being rude to the president. That's bothersome to me.
What was that?
You're bothered easily by a lot of things, Paul.
What was that, Bruce?
Paul is bothered by a number of things. He rarely can cite facts or policy on most of them.
I appreciate the name calling, Bruce. This is the problem. This is the problem with our politics. You just called me a liar. You know, basically,
no,
I don't base anything in facts, and you know that's not true.
Okay.
Why don't we,
I think we've just exhausted this thing.
All right. Why don't we take a break right here? 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Bruce Ash, stay with us there down in Florida, and Paul Eckerstrom with me in studio. We continue with the Monday Political Face Off.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
1219, it's the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running on the Monday Political Face-Off. The Monday Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, they specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. He's down in Florida, and we have Paul Eckerstrom with me in studio. Okay, Bruce, let's change the topic. Let's talk about the special election that is coming up here. And on the Republican side, it looks like we're going to have Frank Antonori facing off against Jesse Kelly. Tell us a little bit about the way this race is going to go, Bruce.
Well, we expect to have a third entrant as well, Bill, and that's Dave Sitton, who's a local broadcaster. We've watched Dave on many of Wildcat broadcasts over the last couple of decades, and he'll join Frank and Jesse in what I expect will be a very heavily contested primary.
Well, Bruce, what are the main issues going to be on the Republican side?
Jobs and the economy.
Okay. Paul Eckerstrom, what do you think about that matchup?
Oh, I think it's going to be interesting because Dave Sitton might actually even have a chance because he isn't kind of into the far-right category of the Republican Party. And both Antonori and Kelly are, and they're going to kind of dice up that side of things, and Dave Sitton might have a chance because of that. I have a feeling that in the special election, because there is a registration advantage to the Republicans in the CD8 district, that'll change with the new district in the fall. But in the special election, the Republicans have an advantage largely because it's going to be such a low turnout race. It's going to be in June Democrats don't fare as well when not as many people turn out. So I have a feeling they're going to win that special election, but then we'll go into the fall with a little bit more evenly split district and a higher turnout because it's a presidential year. And the Democrats, I'm hopeful, will be able to take that.
And Bruce Ash, if the Republicans were to win, then you would have an incumbent Republican congressperson. That's got to be an advantage. I don't know how much, but it certainly would be an advantage, wouldn't it?
Well, even the Democrat county chairman says it'll be an advantage. So I tend to agree always with what Mr. Rogers portends.
I think it would be somewhat of an advantage, but the way Congress has such low ratings these days, I don't know. Maybe not.
What about the issues that we'll be facing on the Democratic side, Paul Eckerstrom? And who are the Democrats going to turn to?
Well, there's a lot of names being sent around. Representative Farley, that you just read an op-ed mm-hmm. piece from, is one. Senator Paula Aboud from District 28 is another. Representative Matt Hines is another that's been. Nan Walden, who owns some pecan orchards down in Green Valley, is another person mentioned. And, you know, a person that's not being mentioned as much that I think would actually be a very good candidate as well is Ron Barber, who was, you know, a victim in the January 8th shooting and works for Gabby. And has created the foundation for civility in politics. And I think given the fact that it's going to probably be either Jesse Kelly or Frank Antonori who are very, very vitriolic, I think that would be a great contrast of them being attack dogs versus and very uncivil versus Ron Barber, who's kind of the epitome of Mr. Nice Guy and civil. But he also knows policy really well because he's been working for Gabby all these years and can carry on her legacy. I'm not sure Ron's interested, but that's another name that's been floated. And it really is going to boil down to, frankly, who Gabby decides to endorse. That person will have a huge leg up in any primary.
If Gabby endorses someone, does that person necessarily – that person has a huge advantage. Would you agree with that, Bruce Ash?
I think in the Democrat primary especially, not as much in the general election. The Democrats are having a hard time finding somebody to run. As I and a lot of people on both sides of the aisle have said in other interviews, we're not going to see somebody like Gabrielle Giffords come along in many, many years. She's a tough person to replace, and I think the Democrats are finding that they really don't have a very deep bench right now.
I disagree with that. You go through this all the time where people have to step up from maybe state legislative races like Frank Antonori is doing right now. I think that's a fairly strong bench that we have. And people like Nan Walden, who comes from the business community, who's been involved in Washington politics in the past, is very, very smart. I think she'd be a good candidate. Ron Barber, I think, wins in a walk if he decides to do it, frankly. I don't see that being a problem. I mean, people will vote for that man because they know what he's been through and they know what kind of character he has.
And I believe that no one has stepped forward, Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash, because at this point on the Democratic side, I think they're waiting for direction to see from the Gabrielle Giffords camp who Ms. Giffords and her associates would like to see in this race.
Right. And you know, Steve Farley's close to Gabby and Paula was close to Gabby and Matt Hines, same thing. They all have good policy experience being in the state legislature for a number of years. I think whoever kind of gets Gabby's approval and can coalesce the Democrats around him is going to win the primary. And I think in the fall we'll win that election.
Go ahead.
Well, the clock's ticking, and there's two Republican candidates and one more in the wings. And I suspect that there will be a fair amount of competition for the Democrat position as well. The people that Paul has mentioned, have ambitions. Steve Farley and Paula Bowd and Matt Hines, these are all seasoned legislators, and I think there are a lot of people that woke up last Monday morning, a week ago Monday, and looked in the mirror and said, I could be a congressperson, and that's what they're doing.
Well, and there is one advantage that Democrats do have in this process, unlike the Republicans. If Gabby does endorse somebody, there'll be a quick coalescing around that person, and I doubt very much we'll have much of a primary fight then.
Well, it remains to be seen. Becoming a member of Congress is a pretty important thing to somebody with ambitions.
And Bruce Ash, we have not talked about the national race, and of course, you're down in Florida, and a lot's coming up there. Is Romney still for real here? How serious is Newt's challenge, do you think?
Well, I think there's still quite a challenge. Remember, the Republicans have significantly changed the method in which delegates are awarded, and there's two factors to that. One is Florida and Arizona and Michigan, who have primaries between tomorrow and the end of February, have lost half of their delegates. Secondly, Florida's delegation will be awarded their delegates on a proportional basis, not on a winner-take-all basis, again, because of the rules. And then also, don't forget that the other states are awarding their delegates on a proportional basis.
You still think, though, Romney certainly has to be the front runner at this point?
He is at the present time. This has been a very volatile and a very different primary process. We've seen many flavors of the week, pop up. Right now, Governor Romney would appear to be the person, but we're probably under all circumstances not going to have a nominee presumptive until sometime in late April.
Yeah, I think Romney is going to eventually knock out Newt Gingrich down the road. It's going to take a little time, but one of the things is I want. Mitt Romney to be the nominee to run against because he's the perfect foil against what to contrast what Barack Obama is saying. We need fairness in our system, equal opportunity in our economic system, and Mitt Romney is the person that had Bain Capital, which basically was a vulture capital system.
He broke down
businesses, shipped jobs overseas, and this guy has Swiss bank accounts and accounts in the Cayman Islands, avoiding taxes here in this country and not paying his fair share. He's the perfect foil. He represents that really rich guy that's making out good.
You think the president do very well against Romney?
I think so. Absolutely.
What about it, Bruce?
Be careful what you wish for, Paul, because I think anybody, when you really get down to it, they would much rather have somebody who's been a success in their professional life than somebody who's been on the government dole or a community organizer all their lives. And we've seen what the last 3 years have given us, not much.
Well,
not much hope and not a lot of change left in our pockets.
I would just say this man shipped jobs to China. That's all you need to say.
Paul Ackerstrom, okay, Paul Ackerstrom, Bruce Ash, Bruce.
There you go again, Paul.
Have a safe trip back, Bruce. Thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Stop by, say hello to Moe. He's over at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Coming up, we're going to be talking about heart disease. Dr. Gordon Avey will be with me. Get your questions ready. If you have anything you'd like to discuss, call us at 790-2040. We'll be back. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
With the poll showing him ahead in Florida on the eve of the state's primary, Mitt Romney tells reporters, you can sense that it's coming our way. Newt Gingrich and his supporters are vowing that the campaign is far from over, regardless of the outcome tomorrow in the Florida primary. The White House voices concern about the situation in Egypt, where a handful of U.S. citizens who are being prevented from leaving the country have now taken shelter at the U.S. Embassy in Cairo. The National Transportation Safety Board has now sent investigators to the scene of the North Florida highway pileup that killed at least 10 people yesterday. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 24 points at 12,636. The NASDAQ is off 2 and the S&P trading 4 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Well, 1234 on the Buckmaster Show, from politics to health. Everybody wants to talk about health. We all want to be in good health. We don't want bad health. We don't want heart disease, for sure. But there are things that you can do to prevent bad health and heart disease, and we're going to be talking about some of those things over the next half hour. 790-2040, 790-2040, if you have any questions about your heart or maybe the heart of a loved one or heart disease, get on the phone right now. Approximately every 25 seconds, an American will experience a coronary event, and every 60 seconds, one will die as a result. Fatal heart attacks often come without warning, but most of us don't realize they are preventable. This Saturday, February 4th, the University of Arizona Sarver Heart Center is hosting its annual Healthy Heart Public Education Conference to mark the start of February, which is, February makes sense, that it would be Heart Healthy Month. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Gordon Avey. Dr. Avey is head of the Sarver Heart Center. He's a pioneer in the chest compression technique for CPR, which is continuing to be used more and more throughout this country and around the world. Dr. Avey, good to see you.
Good to be here.
It's good to see you, and you're looking good. And, you know, we were talking right before we went on, Dr. Avey has been associated with coronary issues and medical issues concerning the heart for about 45 years. When you look back, Dr. Avey, when you started off to where we are right now, lots of advances, but in some areas, not so much.
Yes, we've made a lot of advances. In the 1970s, 40% of Americans died of cardiovascular disease, and now it's a little less than 32%. So we have made great advances. And most of these advances have been made by addressing the classic risk factors of high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and smoking.
How big a deal is the hereditary factor?
It really is a big deal. In fact, I tell our medical students, if you want to prevent cardiovascular disease, you've got to pick your parents very carefully because you want the right genes, because they really make a huge difference.
So if you do have that risk factor of the genes that show coronary disease in some of the parents or grandparents, what are some of the things? You have to be extra careful.
Right. Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to know your risk factors. You know, of course, don't smoke. That goes without saying. But you need to know what your cholesterol values are. And you can't know just your total number because it's made up of good stuff and bad stuff. And what you really want is your total cholesterol divided by the good cholesterol, which is HDL or healthy cholesterol, to be 3. If it's 3, you're okay. If it's 5, which is average, you're not okay because the average American has a heart attack. So you really want to keep your cholesterol levels normally. And if you've got the wrong genes, there's no question about it, you've got to take medication. Unfortunately, diet does not work. And the reason for that is there's 300 milligrams of cholesterol in the average diet, but there is 900 milligrams of cholesterol in the bile that's put out by the liver. So what the gut sees to absorb is 1,200 milligrams. So you cut that from 300 milligrams to 100 milligrams, you only cut what you absorb from 1,200 to 1,000. So you can lower your cholesterol by about 10% by diet, but most of us including me, need to take medicine for that. And, of course, one of the most effective medicine are the statins.
Statins have been around several decades anyway, and they have they proven that they do not present risks as far as side effects, the Lipitor and whatever?
Well, they do have side effects. A certain percentage of people, it's not a lot, but a certain percentage of people will develop muscular discomfort and weakness from that. So it's something that you need to either discontinue or change. But I can tell you at my age, Bill,
why don't you give us your age?
I'm 78.
Yeah, you're looking good.
And you get aches and pains all the time.
And you've had heart disease in your family.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Both my father and grandfather died in their 50s of heart attacks.
Uh-huh. So you got on the statins that are as soon as you could.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, to lower the cholesterol, you say that you do need medication, but we do hear these stories that people have fantastic low cholesterol and they still have heart attacks.
Well, that's true because your total cholesterol can be low, but if your good stuff is even lower, then you still build it up because the liver puts out the LDL cholesterol, which is we know as lousy cholesterol, and that blocks up the arteries. Then the HDL, or healthy cholesterol, removes it. And so I don't care how low your cholesterol is, if you're not removing it over decades, you can develop the disease.
Dr. Gordon Navy is with us from the UA Sarver Heart Center. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. Let's talk a little bit about this Saturday's event. I know you always enjoy this event. It's coming up with a lot of different heart specialists who are going to be taking part. You're going to be there talking about what we're talking about right now, healthy heart tips. But there are some other very important issues, aren't there, Dr. Avey?
Yes. What we have found over the years is that people really like to get their questions answered. And so this year we have a lineup of Lori Maxdollar and Leslie Ritter, Betsy Dalkin, Carl Kern, Julia Indeck, and Bob Postum, and their presentations are going to be very short so that we can answer questions, because that's what people are most interested in.
Some of the topics to be discussed, the risk factors for heart disease, recognizing stroke, controlling diabetes, unblocking arteries, arrhythmias, and robotic heart surgery. This is an area I know Dr. Poston has, he's fairly new to, right, to the Sarver Heart Center?
Yes, he's been here about a year now.
And he is looking into this and is practicing this robotic heart surgery. What's the jury say on that so far, the robotic heart surgery?
Well, it's like so many things in academic medicine, that we really need to have the best people do it to find out if it works. And in certain areas, it does work. I had a 93-year-old patient who was just unable to get to go through open heart surgery because of her age at all, and she did just fine with the robotic. So more and more cases like that, and we'll be more and more enthusiastic.
Let's get back to some of the risk factors. How about overweight and having a healthy heart?
Well, overweight is a problem mainly because it then kicks off diabetes. And diabetes is a major risk for heart disease.
As a matter of fact, why is that?
Well, it's a complicated metabolic process. But if you've got diabetes, you have the risk of someone who has already had their first heart attack.
Really?
So it's a major thing. So that's one of the reasons why you don't want to be overweight.
12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Avey is with us from the University of Arizona Sarver Heart Center. Talk a little bit about aspirin and prevention. Doctors had been recommending aspirin. Is that still a recommendation? Do you like that recommendation for heart attack prevention and stroke?
Well, it has to be used for an indication. I don't think everyone should take aspirin. There are 16,000 deaths in the United States each year from severe GI bleed. So if you have a stent, yes, you need to be on aspirin. If you've got a risk for coronary disease, you need to be on aspirin. Once I controlled my risk factors, I haven't taken an aspirin in about 30 years.
You haven't had an aspirin in 30 years?
Prevention.
How is Bayer going to make any money with you not taking an aspirin in 30 years? Dr. Gordon-Navy is with us. Why don't we take a break right here? There's lots to talk about, including we want to talk about this compression only for CPR, something that Dr. Avey feels very passionate about. And he should, because he's kind of the guy behind all this that has been leading the charge. We'll hear about where that effort is right now as we continue with the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock.
For what it's worth.
For what? What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go?
Travel hassles, long drives.
Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. 1248 on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking with Dr. Gordon Avey of the UA Sarver Heart Center. Dr. Avey is really the pioneer in this compression-only chest CPR. Tell me a little bit about how all this began, Dr. Avey.
Well, there was a group of us at the Sarver Heart Center that were interested in resuscitation, and we were mainly interested because nobody would do it because they didn't want to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So we found out through our experiments that chest compression only was better than doing nothing. So we had advocated that really since the late 1990s. And then in the early 2000s, my colleague, Dr. Carl Kern, was part of a study where they actually taught people how to do CPR, took a video, and found out that after they did the chest compressions, lifted the chin, closed the nose, took a breath, made a seal, blew, watched the chest come up, repeated that, went back to press. It was 16 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
And so all the years, the guidelines had been 15 breaths, two quick, or 15 compressions, two quick breaths of 2 seconds each. So then when we compared chest compression only to that, the survival was much better.
Well, why did CPR begin with mouth to mouth in the first place?
Well, because I think it was started on the where most of the cities were in the old days, and that's on the ocean and by rivers, et cetera, et cetera. And you still need mouth to mouth if someone is drowning
victims.
Yeah. So if they are drowning or if they have a respiratory arrest due to bad lung disease or drug overdose and stop breathing. But that's only about 15%. The majority, 75 or so percent of patients have unexpected collapse. And the way you recognize it is a witness, seen or heard, collapse in an individual who is not responsive. Call 911, get the paramedics on the way. Obviously, if there's an AED around, you have someone get that. And then you do chest compression at 100 beats a minute, 100 compressions a minute until somebody arrives. If there's a second person there, they should get on the other side and trade off after about every 100 compression because it's very tiring, very tiring.
Let's talk about it. Even on the radio here, you can really tell us how easy this chest compression only works. Go ahead. Tell how if you – if you were unfortunately, well, if you're right there when somebody has a heart attack, what should you do?
Well, first, as I say, you call 911. Then you just roll them over on their back. You aim for the center of their chest, right between the nipples. You put the heel of one hand right on the sternum, the heel of the other hand on top of that. You lock your elbows. And by that, I mean your arms are perfectly straight. And then you put your shoulders right above the top of the chest, and you fall with all your weight, compressing the sternum about 2 inches, and then you come up after each compression. So it's not massage at all.
No.
It's a jab, jab, jab at about 100 compressions per minute.
And the 100, when you're doing it, you just think like a half a second each time you're down. Right?
Well, you can, or you can think of a song like the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. Da 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 da.
Staying alive, right. And just keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
But as you say, that's very, very tiring to do. So
it is.
Somebody
that, it is. Yeah. But do the best you can if you got a neighbor. We even think that perhaps when you call 911, that they need to find out who's nearby to get you help. But the most important advance recently has been the fact that the dispatchers now can help recognize a cardiac arrest and direct you in what to do because, you know, the persons are usually so upset that the dispatchers have to be very forceful. They also need to know that when somebody collapses, the majority of them gasp. And so it's not a normal breathing. Gasping is a sign of cardiac arrest. So in the old days, they used to call 911 and they'd say, is the patient breathing? Well, a layperson with all of the excitement, mm-hmm. couldn't tell the difference. So now you don't do that anymore. You say, are they breathing normally? Are they unconscious? And if that the answer to those are correct, you start doing chest compressions. They've actually done studies in Seattle where they've been very aggressive about this, and they've shown that doing chest compression only on somebody who's not in cardiac arrest is not all that deleterious at all.
It feels natural. It seems like this is the way to go, and most places are doing chest compression now around the country?
Yes, around this country there are.
Where's the resistance?
There's two sources of resistance. One is in Europe, but we're making inroads over there. In the Orient, Korea, Japan, they've accepted this pretty carefully. The resistance is, you know, it's like politics that you just had on before. You know, how do you get two people who look at what they consider science, and some people say, well, this and that and the other. So it takes a while, although we're convinced that that we're right and that it's going to change, and we're seeing it.
So there's really – it seems fairly easy to do this, but, you know, you want to be careful. You don't want to really – maybe people worry that they're, like, doing it the wrong way.
You know, you can't you can't hurt the person. They're dying. They're almost dead. So don't worry about that. Anything is better than nothing. And just remember that when their heart is not beating, each chest compression is the patient's heartbeat and their blood flow to the brain. And if you stop pressing on the chest for anything, blood flow to the brain stops, and that's not a good thing.
You're almost like becoming a heart pump.
You
are becoming then a heart pump for that person.
You're right. You're right. That's a great way of putting it. I hadn't heard it before, but you're right.
So it's like a human heart pump, and so every time you're pushing down in that 100 beats per minute, you're moving blood.
Right, absolutely.
Because you want to move blood, because without blood moving, you've got problems.
Right. And everybody says, well, why don't you have to breathe for them? Well, the reason you don't is because, you know, as we're both sitting here, our arterial system is full of oxygenated blood. And if our heart would stop, it wouldn't go anywhere, so it would stay fully oxygenated till you started pumping on the chest. So for primary cardiac arrest, a unexpected witness collapse in an individual who is not responsive, you know, you do the shake and shout, hey, are you all right? If they're not, call 911, roll them over on their back, on the floor, get on your knees, right up against them, lock your elbows, center the chest, compress at 100 per minute.
How long can this keep somebody alive?
Well, they've actually kept people alive for a half hour or even more if you just keep compressing, particularly if they're gasping. You know, if they're gasping, they're oxygenating themselves, and you're pressing on the heart. You're their heart pump, as you say.
Yeah.
I think the longest one that I can recall recently is 26 minutes.
One person doing that for 26 minutes?
One person. The wife did it for the 20 minutes and the last 6 minutes. So it was done by the paramedics after they arrived.
Wow, you're going to be really – that's going to take a lot of physical activity. But look at it this way. You've kept a life. You've kept someone alive.
Right, yeah.
Let's wrap this up here in the remaining minute or so. We want to, again, talk about what's going on this Saturday, because I think it's a very important event. It's the annual Healthy Heart Conference at the University of Arizona Sarver Heart Center, and that is in the Duval Auditorium at the University of Arizona Medical Center. You know, Dr. Avey, people always worry, what about parking? Well, it's Saturday, this event, so 8 a.m. to noon. It shouldn't be that much of a concern, right?
And it's also free.
That helps as well. So if you have any hard questions, you are going to keep, as you say, the presentations. Don't, if you're worried about maybe you've got to sit through a long presentation, that's not really what this is about.
Yeah,
you want kind of a dialogue like we've been doing right here on the radio, talking about this, and people are going to have plenty of opportunities to put in questions, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And it's $15 per person. And that's a very small amount for some great advice that you're going to get this Saturday. Dr. Avey, thank you very much. It's good to catch up with you. And you're looking great, 78 years old, and keep up the good work. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
all
my
right.
Pleasure.
12:59 on the Buckmaster Show. I want to tell you that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our good friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. It is the tax season. I was working on a little bit of that, organizing some things just this weekend. So the guy we call upon is Michael C. Flowers, Mr. Flowers at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. And that is going to do it today for the Monday edition. Coming up tomorrow, we'll speak with Nancy Young-Wright. She is a Democratic candidate for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. Also, Dr. Al Kasniak will be with us. We're going to spend a half an hour on the 12:30 to 1 portion of the show talking about Alzheimer's and Alzheimer's research. He really is the guy in this area. It's great information tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
10:30 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR Douglas. And 12:40 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.